We are ready to start the second phase of this introduction to Pirkei Avos, but more into the Pirkei Avos itself. There is a Mishnah that we say when we learn or read Pirkei Avos during the time of the year that it is said perek by perek after Pesach until Rosh Hashanah, like we explained last time. The Mishnah is not from Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah is from the last chapter of Sanhedrin, Maseches Sanhedrin, and that chapter is called Chelek, because it starts Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek LaOlam Haba, and that Mishnah is used for some reason as a preface to Pirkei Avos. Every week when they say Pirkei Avos, they say this Mishnah first. And the question is why? Again, this says this Mishnah is not part of Pirkei Avos at all. So why is this Mishnah used as a preface to Pirkei Avos? So there are various reasons given. We will discuss them today. I don't know if we're going to get into the Mishnah itself, but we will discuss the reasons why this Mishnah, but let me tell you what the Mishnah says generally, without going into great commentary on it. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. All Yisrael, seemingly all Jews, have a share to the world to come. Shenemar, V'amech Kulam Tzadikim, all your nation are tzaddikim, netzer, matoi, maise yodai lehispo'er. That is the Mishnah. There's an end to that Mishnah too. The elu she'ein lahem chelek l'olam haba. And these are the ones who don't have a share in the world to come. And it lists various types of sins that a person, if he doesn't do tshuva on them before he dies, loses his share in the world to come. And then it speaks about various people in history who lost their share in the world to come. That is the Mishnah. So the part that they say is only the first part. The first part of this Mishnah, Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lahem Chelek Olam Haba, Shenemar, the Amech Kulam Tzadikim, and so on, that is said as a preface every week to the Perek of Pirkei Avos that's being read. So why is that? Why is the minig to say this Mishnah, which has nothing to do with Pirkei Avos, every week before you learn that perek, you say this Mishnah? So one idea, they say, the Tiferes Tzvi says, that there are many, many things in Pirkei Avos that are very, very difficult to do. And they are ideal kinds of midos, ideal kind of behavior. In order that a person should not feel that if he doesn't fulfill every single thing that he's going to learn in Pirkei Avos, then he's going to lose his share in the world to come. So in order to not let that be the negative result of learning Pirkei Avos, we preface that all Jews have a share in the world to come. It's very hard to lose your share in the world to come. What it says in Pirkei Avos is an ideal, and no one should be afraid that if he doesn't fulfill the ideal, that it's either all or nothing, and he's going to lose his share in the world to come. The idea being that it says in Pirkei Avos, Al tehi rasha bifnei atzmecha. Person should never consider himself a Rasha, nor should he consider himself a Tzaddik. He should consider himself somewhere in between. Because if you consider yourself a Tzaddik, you'll have no intent, no incentive to do better or to repent because you think you're perfect. And if you consider yourself a Rasha, you'll give up hope and you'll feel it's not worth anything. I'm a Rasha anyway, so, you know, I might as well go and sin and enjoy myself because I've lost everything anyway. Neither of those thoughts are productive thoughts. But a person should feel, I'm not the biggest Rasha in the world, and there's hope for me. I'm the biggest tzaddik in the world, and I need to work on myself. And that's the attitude a person should have in this world. And therefore, in order, since Pirkei Avos presents a tremendous amount of ideal behavior that many of us, if not most of us, can't live up to all the time, to the degree that's mentioned in Pirkei Avos, in order that we don't feel that, well, if we can't live up to all of this and it's all lost, then we preface this Mishnah of Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lohem Chelek La'olam Haba. That's one idea. The Beishmuel Achron, all these are commentaries that you probably never heard of, and that's not kedai to go into who they are, whatever. Just going to mention the name. These are all latter day, within the last 100 years or whatever. Yeah, Achron, for sure. He says like this. He says that there's a lot of halachas and a lot of details of how a person has to behave and how he has to keep the Torah. And a person could have the following question. Why were we singled out for all of this when Goyim get to an easy time of just having 7 mitzvahs? And why do we have to have this tremendous yoke of 613 mitzvahs? Why are we different than them that they get away easy and we have all this difficulty? So, and learning Pirkei Avos, the question could come up every week, you know, why all these things? Goyim have an easy time. So he says like this, he says that when you have a very valuable treasure, then you guard it very, very carefully. When you have something that's not so valuable, you don't need to guard it so much. The nations of the world don't have the guaranteed, or we'll see what kind of guarantee it is, share in the world to come that we have. They can get a share in the world to come, but it's not the same quality of Olam Haba that we have. And therefore they don't need a lot of protection. But we, who every Jew is a treasure, every Jew has a share in the world to come, right, meaning a potential, we'll see, for that share in the world to come. So therefore, the Jews need a tremendous amount of protection. They don't lose it, because we have something very, very valuable. So therefore, the Rabbanu Shalom gave us Taryag Mitzvahs in order to protect that tremendously valuable share in the world to come that we have, that we shouldn't chas v'shalom lose it. The Goyim don't have that treasure. They don't need all that protection. Let me just explain what that means. That we have a potential to create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Olam Haba, that because of our avos, because of the nature of our neshama, that we inherited. Our neshama was... the Jewish neshama was enhanced by Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and therefore we inherit spiritual genetics, a neshama that is capable of having the closest relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the most quality Olam Haba. We'll save the details of this for a little while. There's another explanation which there I want to go into more detail, but for now, for this, at this point, that's enough. We have a tremendous potential in our neshamas to create a everlasting, eternal, close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that no other nation's neshama is geared for that. They can get a share in the world to come, but not on the level and not with the intensity that we have. In order to create that relationship. And to bring out the potential that our neshamas have, we need tarig mitzvahs. The mitzvahs themselves bring out the facets and the potential of our neshamas and bring it to fruition. And therefore the Rabbanu Shalom gave us tarig mitzvahs because the mitzvahs will have a effect on us. They'll be productive, they'll be effective. By the nations of the world, those mitzvahs would not be effective anyway. They don't have that potential. They can't bring it out. That's the idea. We have this treasure. In order not only to guard the treasure, but to bring out the potential that that treasure represents, you need tarig mitzvahs. It's as if somebody has beautiful jewelry and gold and silver, and in order to polish it and to keep it the way that it shows its value, you need every day to take it out and polish it up and clean it and keep it in a secure place. The same thing. We have diamonds and all kinds of precious stones and gold and silver, and we need, therefore, to constantly do things to shine it and to protect it. And the Goyim don't have that potential, and therefore they don't need the shine, because you can't shine brass that much altogether, and you don't need to protect it that much. So we have 365 mitzvahs lo sase to guard and make sure that what we have isn't destroyed and isn't taken away. And we have 248 mitzvahs sase to make sure that we polish and bring out the greatest luster of that treasure that we have, to be able to benefit from it to its fullest extent. That's the idea. Since Pirkei Avos has in it so many halachas, so many behavioral mandates, things that you have to do and things you shouldn't do, so a person could say, what do we need all of this for? Goyim get away very easily. Therefore, we preface this Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Leishlo B'chei L'Kol Haba, that because we have a tremendously greater potential, we have a greater responsibility, and we have more things that we have to do to bring out that potential and to guard it. Okay, third reason. The reason is that we're going to learn Pirkei Avos, and in there we have the Misora. Right away in the beginning. The beginning of Pirkei Avos is Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, and Misora Yoshua, and all the things that we learn in Pirkei Avos are a result of that Misora, that the Torah is divine, was given by the Ribono Shel Olam, and therefore, before we start Pirkei Avos, but really this only applies to the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the first Perek, but the truth is that every Perek has that as its preface. You should know that all these things are not stam nice things to do, nice etiquette, nice derech eretz that somebody thought up, but this is all part of a Mesorah that originates with God. And therefore we have to treat it as such. It's not just good advice. These are directives and mandates that were handed down, and their source is no less godly than any other halacha in the Torah, than Sukkah and Shabbos, and therefore Derech Eretz also has its source in the oral tradition handed down to Moshe Rabbeinu. And who is one of the people who loses their share in the world to come? Someone who denies the divinity of the Torah. Ha'omer ain't Torah min ha'shamayim, that the Torah is not divine. Torah is just the product of whoever decided to author the Torah. The Torah is not given by God. Somebody who doesn't believe the Torah was given by God loses his share in the world to come. And therefore, since in Pirkei Avos, it's very possible that a person would think that these are not divine ordinances, they're just nice behavior, just like all other nations have nice etiquette and nice behavior and good character and derech eretz. So therefore, we preface, call Yisrael Yeshlem Chelukam Abba, that all Yisrael have a share in the world to come, but you have to believe in what Yisrael is supposed to believe in. And if you don't believe in what Yisrael is supposed to believe in, then you won't have a share in the world to come. So be very careful and realize that this Pirkei Avos is Moshe Kibel Torah Mishinai, and if you don't believe in that, then you're not going to have a share in the world to come. If you do believe in that, you will have a share in the world to come. To enhance this, I want to mention something that we mentioned in a little bit different context. We made the Siyum on the Shlosh Esrei Ikarim as a preface to learning Pirkei Avos and what the connection between the two is. We said that there are basically two hallmarks, two basic themes that run through the entire Pirkei Avos. One is Derech Eretz, how to function between man and man, and the other is the importance of learning Torah and the Mesorah, the fact that the Torah is divinely given, and therefore it's something that a person should occupy himself with every moment that he has free to do, and can understand the importance of Torah, since Torah is God's word, it's God's will, and it's God's mind, so it is of utmost importance. Those are the two basic themes of Pirkei Avos. That which it says, "Kol Yisrael Yesh Lohem Chelek L'Mabo," which we just now said means you have to be a Yisrael to get that share in the world to come. But if you're not a Yisrael, you don't have that. I want to now explain that a little bit better. Olam Haba, as well as the Torah, was given not to individuals. It was given to Klal Yisrael. Kol Yisrael doesn't mean every individual Jew. It means all Yisrael as a conglomerate, as a unit, have a share in the world to come. The world to come is given to the Jewish people. That doesn't mean Goyim can't have a share in the world to come. We'll see in 1 second. They have a share in the world to come if they are part and attached to the Jewish people, not Jews. Every individual has a share in the world to come as part of that Kol Yisrael. If you belong to Kol Yisrael, then you have a share in the world to come amongst the Jewish people. If you don't, are not part of that Kol Yisrael, that umbrella called Yisrael, then you don't have a share in the world to come, because a share in the world to come is not individual. It is individual as part of being part of a corporation. There's a corporation called Klal Yisrael. If you are a member of that corporation, then you have a share, literally. You're a shareholder in Olam Haba. You have a share in Olam Haba. If you're not a member of that corporation, then there is no Olam Haba. Olam Haba was meant for the shareholders of the corporation called Klal Yisrael. Therefore, a person who is part of that corporation, but he does things wrong, so he'll get punished for the things that he does wrong, and he may have to go to Gehenna and get those things corrected. After this world, in this world, he may get Yisurim, he may get punishment, whatever it may be, physical punishment, spiritual punishment, but eventually he will get his share in the world to come because he's a shareholder in Klal Yisrael. But if a person does not part of Klal Yisrael, and there's two ways of doing that. One is you deny the principles that make up what Klal Yisrael are. You deny the Torah. Torah is what we are, a nation because of our Torah. If you deny the divinity of the Torah, then you You deny the fact that there will be an Olam Haba. All of the 13 things the Rambam enumerates in what we learned over the past 9 years of the Shlosh Esrei Ikarim are what defines the belief of Klal Yisrael. If you believe in that, then you basically are a shareholder in the corporation called Klal Yisrael by subscribing to what the corporation stands for. If you deny that, then you basically deny the identity of what the Jewish people are, and you therefore can't be a shareholder in a corporation you don't believe in. So one way of seceding from the Jewish people is by belief. I don't believe in what the Jewish people believe in, therefore I am not a shareholder in that corporation.
That's a Jew you're speaking
about. Now we're speaking about a Jew. We'll see, it even applies to a Goy. There's another way of seceding. So somebody, therefore the Rambam says, somebody who believes in the what Klal Yisrael is, what makes us Klal Yisrael, the basic 13 beliefs are what makes us the Jewish people, that is Jewish belief. These 13 things are the hallmarks of Jewish belief. Okay, believing in a God in the way that we believe in him, those are the first four things. Serving that God and not serving other gods, that's the fifth one. Believing that God prophesied and that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet and he gave us the Torah through that prophecy and he won't change that Torah is the next ones. That God basically has a close, intimate relationship with people and is concerned with what they do and knows what they do and that he rewards and punishes and that there will be a Mashiach and an Olam Haba. Those are the foundations of what it means to be a believing Jew that sets us aside from all the other nations of the world. These 13 beliefs. So if you believe in them, but you do things wrong, you do even do terrible aveiros. You murder somebody. You take Mechal Shabbos, whatever it may be. But you basically believe in these 13 principles, you'll be punished for what you did wrong in this world, the next world, but eventually you'll get a share in the world to come. If you deny one of these 13 principles, you basically have seceded from the Jewish people. You are not part of the Jewish people because you don't believe in what Jews believe in. So, therefore, you lose your share in the world to come because you're not a shareholder in the corporation that has a share in the world to come. There's another way of seceding from the Jewish people, and that the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says that somebody who is a tzaddik, he keeps all the mitzvahs, all of them, without exception. But he is poresh min hatzibur. He separates himself from Klal Yisrael. He says, you know what, I want to do this on my own. As somebody once told me, a convert, a gioris, she once told me she's having a very hard time with Judaism. It's unfortunately after she converted. She said, I love Judaism. I just can't stand Jews. I told her, I'm sorry, but it's a package deal. You can't love Judaism and not love Jews. Jews and Judaism are one in the same. And if you don't like Jews, then basically you are seceding from Judaism too. They can't be separated. Listen to what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that a person who keeps all the mitzvahs but separates himself from the Jewish people and says, I don't want to be happy when they're happy or sad when they're sad. I'm going to do this on my own. I don't need to be part of the Jewish people. I'm not interested in empathizing, sympathizing, identifying with Klal Yisrael. That person loses his share in the world to come, even though he didn't do any aveiros. He only did mitzvahs. Everything he does, but he disassociates himself from the Jewish people, he loses his share in the world to come. Porish minat zibur. Why? For this reason. Because he's not being punished because of things he's done wrong, except that Olam Haba is again the property of the Jewish people. If you're part of that corporation, you're a shareholder, you have a share, a chelek. You have a share in the world to come. If you're not part of that corporation, then you're not a shareholder, you don't have a share. So you can do nothing wrong. You're not being punished. You're just not part of a different corporation. It's not this corporation. This is the corporation where there's Olam Haba. Therefore, what is Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos is a belief in the importance of Torah because it is divine, and that includes all of the aspects of Torah that make Judaism, Judaism, the 13 principles. And Pirkei Avos is how to get along with other people, with other Jews. Because if you don't have Derech Eretz and don't know how to get along, you're basically not going to be part and parcel of the Jewish people. You can only be part of the corporation if you know how to get along with all the other people in the corporation. But if you can't get along with anybody, eventually you're going to separate yourself from them and you're going to lose your share in the world to come for that reason. Therefore, as a preface to Pirkei Avos, whose theme is the importance of Torah, meaning its divinity and the foundations of what Torah makes the Jewish people, we are a nation. We, our identity is identified by the Torah. So Pirkei Avos tells me the importance of Torah and its divine origin. That's what it starts with. And throughout is the theme, the importance of learning Torah and observing Torah, what Torah is all about. And the second theme, and without that, you don't have a share in the world to come because you're not part of Israel. You're not part of the faith community of the Jewish people. And the second thing is that if you can't get along with Jews, you don't have Midos Tovos, you don't have Derech Eretz, you're inevitably going to be separating yourself from the Jewish people because you're going to be separate from them, separated, not from the faith community. You may believe in what they believe in, but you're not going to have a contact with them. You're going to be denying your relationship with other Jews. And for that, you lose your share in the world to come. So therefore, since Pirkei Avos speaks about both of these themes, so therefore we preface it with Kol Yisrael. Only if you are part of Yisrael do you have a share in the world to come. If you secede from Yisrael, either by faith or by physical connection, then you're not going to have a share in the world to come. So you better pay attention to what it says in Pirkei Avos, because Pirkei Avos tells you how to be part of the Jewish people faith-wise and how to be part of the Jewish people practically speaking. That is, what I understand, to be another, reason why we start with this preface. Now, what about Goyim? So we said that Goyim can also have a share in the world to come. How do they fit in? So there are active shareholders, and then there are passive shareholders in this corporation, meaning the following, that you can be a stock shareholder, right? You own stock in the corporation. Or sometimes if you are a person who works for the corporation, who supports the corporation, then you are given stock even though you're not a shareholder.
Stock options.
Yeah, there's such a thing. Okay, I don't know exactly how it works because I don't own any stock. My brother-in-law once told me to buy some stock, it was, I think, in Pan Am, and then Pan Am disappeared off the map. I tried once more. Balabos in Miami told me, buy this and you'll be rich tomorrow. I bought that, and tomorrow I wasn't rich.
You were that much poorer.
I thought, right. So, Baruch Hashem, I didn't have a lot of money to buy these things. You know, I wasn't affected by any of these great things. I wasn't affected by Madoff or anybody else, right? Baruch Hashem, I didn't have the money to be affected. So I don't know what it means to own stock, to tell you the truth. But it seems to me that if you have somebody who works for the corporation, maybe a janitor, he may be a consultant, whatever it may be, he may not be an actual shareholder, but he is given benefits of being part of that corporation because he is a supporter of the corporation. Those are the goyim. In order to really have a share in the world to come, okay, the Rambam says that a goy has to believe that the Torah was given to the Jewish people. And that the Torah that was given to the Jewish people speaks to him and commands him to keep 7 mitzvahs. And he keeps those 7 mitzvahs because God said he should keep them. If he does that, he has a share in the world to come.
How would he know?
Good question. Pashtus, he would know because if he really is interested, okay, the Rambam holds that a person can come to belief in God on his own by investigating and through philosophy. And what's the word I'm looking for? Chakira. Chakira means investigation. Right. If a person wants to really believe and he's objective, he will be able to ascertain on his own that there's a God. Once he ascertains that, he should say, well, if there's a God who created me, God probably wants me to know why I'm around and what I should do. So did he ever reveal to anybody? And then he will say, well, the Christians say he did this, and the Muslims say he did this, and the Jews say this. So let me investigate and see which one seems to be more true. And we've gone through this already. And if you really look into it, the tradition that we have, based on a revelation that was given in front of 600,000 men, plus women and children, right, is pretty, not 100%, that it forces you to believe, but of all the traditions that exist, this one pretty much has the most going for it.
Credibility.
Right. So if a person really wants to be objective in this world, he will make enough investigation to come to a belief in God, and then come to a belief in Mesorah, in Revelation. He doesn't have to be Jewish. This wasn't given to me. This was given to the Jewish people. But in that Torah that God gave the Jewish people, it says what my role is. My role is a non-Jew, a ben Noah, who has to keep 7 mitzvahs. A goy who comes to that realization and keeps his 7 mitzvahs because God told him to do it in the Torah that was given to Moshe, will have a share in the world to come. That's the Rambam. There are others that hold that if a goy keeps his 7 mitzvahs, he does it because God said to do it, but he doesn't have to be because the Torah said or because whatever, he'll also get. Some would say that even if he does them without believing necessarily that God told him to do it, but he does. He doesn't murder, he doesn't steal because he feels it's a moral thing to do. Could he get rewarded for that too? Whether he'll get a share in the world to come is a different story.
Even if he still believes in
Yashka, that one of the 7 mitzvahs he has is not to believe in idolatry. So if he believes in Yashka as a god, then he's over the one of the 7 mitzvahs.
He's only a son.
Depends what they believe. Depends what they believe. It could be that if they believe in God, but they believe that God has helpers, and they also believe in idolatry, it could be for a goy that is okay. And that's only prohibited to a Jew. We're not allowed to believe that. But whether a goy is allowed to believe that or not is a question. Right? And therefore there's a question whether, for us, Catholicism for sure is avodah zarah. But for them, it may not be us. May not. It's a question. If they believe that there's 3 aspects to God, like Catholicism says, right? And there's not one God who has helpers, but they believe in an idolatrous
trinity.
What trinity of God, that could be worse. Depends what they exactly believe. I don't know if they know exactly what they believe. In any case, so according to the Rambam, at least, it fits very nicely. You can only have a share in the world to come as part of the corporation called Klal Yisrael. Either you can be an active shareholder in that corporation, or you can be a helper to the corporation. If you believe that the Rebbe Shem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, you have a part in that as a goy with seven mitzvahs, and you have to aid the Jewish people and be part of the world effort of bringing godliness into the world, and that is the Jewish people do that predominantly, but the nations of the world are here to help create the infrastructure to be able to do that, and that's exactly what, when Mashiach comes, will be. That the Jewish people will basically infuse the world with spirituality, and the goyim will take care of making sure there's a world to infuse with spirituality by taking care of the infrastructure. They'll take care of the physical things in the world, and we'll infuse it, we'll sit and learn Torah, and teach Torah, whatever. And a goy who believes this asks his shailas to rabbanim. If he has seven mitzvahs, he wants to know what the halacha is, he calls up a rabbi, and he says, I'm a goy, right? I'm not sure if this is Aver Min HaChai or not, am I allowed to eat this or not, right? He doesn't need a hechsher, right, for Jews. He could eat nevelas and trade, but he can't eat it if it's taken from a living animal. So he has to have a hechsher for a goy. Goyish hechsher. Right? He has to know if this hechsher is good, it's not a good, reliable hechsher, whatever, so he can eat his meat and it's not Aver Min HaChai. Or he wants to know, is this called stealing or not? Right? Is this my property? Is it belong to somebody else? Am I stealing by doing this or is not stealing? He has to ask a shayla. And there are goyim like that. There are a whole sect of goyim in America called B'nai Noach. They don't believe anymore in Christianity. They've separated themselves from Christianity. They don't really want to convert to be Jews, most of them, even though many of them end up converting in the end because of practicality. And they have their own community. They are hated by the Christians.
Is that the Seventh-day Adventists?
No.
Noahites.
Right. This movement is about 20, 25 years old. The rabbis who were involved in its early stages were Rabbi Bulman's son, one of Rabbi Bulman's sons there, and Yoel Schwartz here is involved in it very much. They even wrote a siddur for them, for davening that makes sense for a goy who's davening, not a Jew. And they have conventions. I don't know if they still do, but they used to have conventions once a year. And they have shailas that they ask and answers that are given to them or whatever. The problem with it is that they're like not here, not there. So as long as there was a large group of them, then they had who to marry. They couldn't marry Jews because they're goy. The Christians wouldn't touch them because they're heretics. So they had to marry between themselves, and if there weren't a lot of them, that cut down the shidduch market very much. And therefore, many of them opted to convert and become full-fledged Jews so they could fit in somewhere where there was a real society. It was a problem. I don't know what happened.
There's so few of these and so many anti-Semites in the world.
There's fewer people in the world that tell the truth and more people that lie. Yeah. Right? There are fewer people that are virtuous and more people that are immoral. It's easier to go with the Yetzer Hara than to go with the Yetzer HaTov. That's the way the world is. Okay. And therefore, a goy, according to the Rambam at least, fits in beautifully with this idea. According to the Rambam, Goyim can have a share in the world to come too, but they have to be part of the corporation. They don't have to be active shareholders in the corporation and be Jews. But they have to be people who believe that the Torah was given to the Jewish people, and that in that Torah that was given to the Jewish people, they have a part, their seven mitzvahs. And then they're part of the corporation. And therefore they have a share in the world to come too. It may not be the same share that a stockholder has. It's going to be a different share. Different quality of Olam Haba. But and that is the criteria even for a goy to have. It's only Kol Yisrael. You have to be under the umbrella of Kol Yisrael, of the entire Jewish people. If you fit into that somehow, either a goy who fits into it in his realm, or a Jew who fits into it, then you have a share in the world to come. If not, then you don't have a share in the world to come. In order to do that, you have to learn Pirkei Avos. You have to appreciate the importance of Torah and the Mesorah of Torah and everything that goes into what the belief of a Jew is. Even if you're a goy, you have to appreciate that. And then you have to be able to function within that, to function together with Jews and have Derech Eretz, or to function together with the Jewish people and to have maybe a different set of Derech Eretz, but something that you're able to aid and work together with the Jewish people, either work within the Jewish people or work together with the Jewish people. If you have that, then you have a share in the world to come. You don't have any of that, then you lose your share in the world to come. That's another reason why this Mishnah is a preface to Pirkei Avos. Yes. Probably will get a tremendous amount of reward for it. Whether he'll get Olam Haba for that or not is really not my decision. I haven't yet been given that job to make the decisions who gets Olam Haba and who not. Right? If I did, I would award myself first. But unfortunately, I don't have that prerogative. But I would imagine that a goy who lives amongst Jews and helps Jews and is not an anti-Semite and will get a tremendous reward, whether in this world, the next world. I believe that the Rabbanu Shlom is fair, and that seems to be fair. Okay. More than that, I can't tell you. I can't tell you about me either, so I can't tell you about him either. Okay. Okay, we will continue. There's one more idea which we didn't say today, and that we will do in Yirtzeh Hashem next week. It's going to take a good portion of the shiur, so I don't want to start it now and do it piecemeal. And then we will explain this Mishnah, what it means, and then, believe it or not, we will start the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avos.